Blackstone Audio presents Warlord, A Life of Churchill at War, 1874 through 1945, by Carlo d'Este. For Sue and Harry Brack, esteemed friends who helped to make this book possible, and for my wife, Shirley Ann, in memory of Airman Shirley Barton Eldridge, one of the many thousands who gave their lives in the cause of the Second World War. Introduction. Born for War. The largest human being of our time. Sir Isaiah Berlin. Long before he became a statesman, Winston Churchill was first a soldier. War and soldiering were in his blood, inspiring his earliest fantasies as a child and his greatest adventures as a young man, before in old age he took over their direction as Britain's wartime leader. His fascination with soldiering began in the nursery, where he waged imaginary battles with armies of toy soldiers. His experiences as a young cavalry officer and war correspondent led him to distant and exotic places and exposed him to war in its many aspects, including its gruesome horrors. Even as Prime Minister and one of the world's most powerful men during the Second World War, Churchill never lost his love of soldiering, often lamenting that he had missed his calling by not winning fame as a battlefield warrior. Churchill was one of those rare figures in history, men such as Frederick the Great, Oliver Cromwell, and his own famous ancestor, the Duke of Marlborough, who were born for war, as Napoleon once described himself. These were war leaders who instinctively understood it in all of its aspects, strategic, political, diplomatic, moral, and psychological. Moreover, as one of Churchill's most astute biographers, Sebastian Hafner, has observed, no one will ever understand the phenomenon that was Churchill by regarding him simply as a politician and statesman who was ultimately destined, like Asquith or Lloyd George, Wilson or Roosevelt, to conduct a war. He was a warrior who realized that politics forms a part of the conduct of war. It is not so well known that Churchill was a military visionary with ideas of astonishing, if sometimes impractical, originality. As First Lord of the Admiralty in 1915, he conceived and approved the design and construction of an enormous Trojan horse-like armored vehicle that would transport in safety between 80 and 100 troops across no man's land to assault the German trenches. And in 1939, again as First Lord, he conceived Nelly, a gargantuan trench digger that would be used to permit the infantry to overwhelm the powerful defenses of the Siegfried Line in safety. Although both projects ultimately failed, they were nevertheless examples of the remarkably innovative ideas that poured forth from Churchill's fertile mind.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?